Good morning, Jericho. I'm really, as Peter had mentioned, my name is another Pastor Sam. So I thought that was kind of appropriate for me to kind of fill in for him. I'm excited to be here. I wanted to tell you a little bit about myself before we kind of jump into today's message, because I have ties to this church. But first, let me introduce my family. We can have a picture of my family up there. This is me and my lovely wife, Susan. We just celebrated our 28th wedding anniversary. Yeah. I know you guys are trying to calculate my age here. As Peter said, decades and decades of ministry experience. And here's my two children, Eden and Isaac. And they're really the joys of my life. And I wish they could actually be here with me, but... So I wanted to share a little bit with my family. My wife and I actually met at Bethel Korean Church, which is, if you know a little bit of history of this church, it actually came from Bethel Korean Church. So I met my wife there at Bethel Korean Church. The young adult ministry of Bethel at the time, we split off and we planted First Harvest Chapel. Okay, I was part of that initial young adult team that planted First Harvest Chapel. That's where I got married. That's where I got called into ministry, was at First Harvest Chapel. And if you guys know the history of this church, that's part of the history of this church as well. And so when I was invited here, I was really just overjoyed. I was really overjoyed to say, like, wow, this is kind of like coming full circle to me, kind of like a homecoming, and just seeing like a lot of the fruit, or all of the fruit that really has come from my life has really stemmed from this church. And so it's really meaningful for me to be here and to share God's word with you today, and actually next Sunday as well. So really excited for that opportunity. As Peter had shared, I was a pastor in the local church for 25 years, and then I transitioned to a new ministry. If we could have the next slide. I'm a part of this organization called Barnabas & Co., where we minister to pastors. So whenever I share about this ministry, people are like, what? What do you do? You do what? Do pastors need ministry, right? They're the ones like ministering to everyone else. Well, that's actually the problem, is they're always ministering to others, that they have no one ministering to themselves. You know, and what I always share is, what's the only person in the church that doesn't have a pastor? It's the pastor. Amen, right? And so that's what we do. We come alongside. We shepherd the shepherds, and we come and to encourage them. We come give them a safe space to process things in their own life. We encourage them. We equip them. We do all kinds of different things, a part of Barnabas. But that's the ministry that I'm a part of, and I've really enjoyed doing that for the past several years. I also have another ministry that got launched last year. Go to the next slide. It's called Be Free Ministries. And Be Free Ministries is a ministry where we attempt to share about the gospel in a practical way so that people can experience all they're created and called to be in Christ. This ministry that started last year has actually been a ministry that's been in my heart for a very long time. So, in fact, the message I'll share this Sunday and next Sunday is kind of loosely based on the Be Free Ministry, so I'll share more about that maybe a little bit that next time. Well, today I wanted to share with you something that's been on my heart, and it's always been a struggle for me. And you might relate to me, but I'm going to share with you something that really has been a challenge, and I want to share with you some of the things the Lord has been speaking to me about that, and that's about faith. So the title of today's message, You of Little Faith, You of Little Faith. Okay, and we're going to start by examining this idea of faith, and we're going to look at one of the clearest definitions of faith, which is in Hebrews 11, verse 1. Let's take a look at that. Hebrews 11, verse 1 says, Now faith is confidence in what we hope for and assurance for what we do not see. Okay, and the two words that I want to highlight are confidence and assurance. And I think when I look at those two words, it always makes me feel like I'm lacking in faith. Because do I really have confidence in the things that I hope for and assurance of things that I don't see happening? And I look at that definition of faith and I feel like, do I have that? Do I have that confidence and assurance and things that aren't present, things that I don't see evidence of, things that I don't see happening in my life, things that I really desire and long for, and do I don't see those things happening in my life, but do I have confidence and assurance about that? And if you're like me, I feel like, man, I don't have faith. I need more faith, right? So today I want to share with you, if you're like me, some of the things the Lord has been speaking to me about faith. So we're going to look at this first passage where we're going to look at great faith. Okay, so we're going to look at Matthew 15, verses 21 to 28. Okay, so just to give you a little context before we jump into this passage, this is Jesus and his disciples. They're traveling down to Jerusalem, and they're going through this area of Tyre and Sidon, which are two cities in this bigger area called Canaan. Okay, so if you're looking at the Canaanites, what are the Canaanites? Canaanites are like, they're Jews that settled in a foreign land, and they've intermingled with other people that are non-Jews. Okay, so Jews would look down on the Canaanites and call them half-breeds. Okay, so they're Jewish, but they've intermingled with other people that are non-Jews, and so they would consider them half-breeds, like lower than low. Okay, this is the context of what we're going to see when they're going through this region. Okay, so let's start in verse 21. And Jesus went away from there and withdrew to the district of Tyre and Sidon. And behold, a Canaanite woman from that region came out and was crying, "Have mercy on me, O Lord, son of David. My daughter is severely oppressed by a demon." Okay, so it's a Canaanite woman. It's a woman from this region that's going up to Jesus and is desperate. Desperate for Jesus to do what? Desperate for Jesus to help her daughter, whom she loves, who's severely oppressed, that's suffering. Okay, presenting her need to Jesus. Okay, look at what happens after that. Verse 23, what do we read? But he did not answer her a word. He did not answer a word. And his disciples came and begged him, saying, "Send her away, for she is crying after us." Okay, so right away, you kind of get this indication of what's going on, right? This woman is coming in desperate need to Jesus and coming up to Jesus and saying, "I need your help so desperately. My daughter is suffering." And he doesn't answer her word. But that doesn't stop her. She keeps coming and saying more and more and more. And we know that because of what the disciples are saying. Because they're saying what? Send her away because she does what? She keeps crying after us. So even though he's silent, it doesn't stop her. She keeps on crying over and over and over again. And then finally, Jesus responds. But look at what he says in verse 24. He says, he answered, "I was sent only to the lost sheep of the house of Israel." Okay? But she came and knelt before him, saying, "Lord, help me." And he answered, "It is not right to take the children's bread," okay, the children being the children of Israel, "the children's bread and throw it to the dogs." I'm like, looking at this and reading this and thinking, what is going on? Is this Jesus? Is this the one, this is my Savior? This is the one that I love? This is the one that shows so much love and compassion to everyone? Is he saying this? The Bible is saying, this is how he responds to the Canaanite woman. He says, "It is not right to take the children's bread and throw it to the dogs." He's essentially calling her a dog. What is going on here? What is happening in this passage? Why do we see Jesus not answering her first, and then when he does answer her, saying something like this? Well, I think when we look at this, it's going to actually be very telling for us. Okay, look at what happens after this in verse 27. Okay, when the Canaanite woman hears what Jesus says, in verse 27, she says, "Yes, Lord, yet even the dogs eat the crumbs that fall from the master's table." Then Jesus answered and said, "O woman, great is your faith. Be it done for you as your desire." And her daughter was healed instantly. Okay, there's a couple immediate takeaways we can have from this. First, Jesus is not uncaring about our situation. We know that because he heals her daughter. The need that she has and brings before Jesus, he meets her need. Okay, so we know, first of all, he's not saying this out of being callous or uncaring. We know that he cares for this woman. But there's purpose of why he's saying these things. And that's why I wanted to share with you the context of what's happening in society in the situation with this Canaanite woman. this Canaanite woman would understand how the Israelites are viewing her. This would not be new to her. Hearing things like, you are a dog, is not new for this woman. This is part of her reality. This is part of her existence, that the society that she's living in, she would be looked down upon by other Jews. Even though she is a Jew, even though she is a descendant, she would be looked down upon by other Jews. They would call her names like this. So when Jesus says this to her, it's not something that she hasn't heard before. This is not something that's surprising. But I think the reason that Jesus says this thing is because he's pointing out her reality. And when she says, that's not going to stop me, I can still receive anyway, he's saying, great is your faith. When Jesus is confronting this woman with the reality of what's happening in her life, all the difficulties, all the ways that she's been downcast, all the way that she's been ostracized, all the ways that she's been put down and marginalized, and her response is, yes, I understand this is what's my reality right now. I understand this is what I'm going through. But that's not going to stop me from receiving from Jesus. That's not going to stop me from receiving from him. And what is Jesus' response to the woman? Oh, great is your faith. This is the kind of faith that Jesus says is great. The kind that looks at your circumstances and all the things that are going wrong in your life and saying this, I recognize that this is my situation. I recognize that things aren't going good. I recognize there's things that in my life that's not what I would want and that I feel desperate. But it's not going to prevent me from receiving from Jesus. This is what the woman is saying. This is what Jesus is highlighting. This is the reason he's bringing and confronting her with her current reality and her current situation. This is what your reality is right now in your society. And her response, but that's not going to stop me. I can still receive from you. And she does. And she does. When we look at the Canaanite woman, we give an example of what great faith is like. And when I see this example, again, like I said in the beginning, is I feel convicted. I feel like, do I have this faith? Do I have this faith when things are going wrong, when I'm confronted and come face to face with all the things that are bad and in my state of my condition? Do I say that's not going to stop me from receiving from Jesus? Or do I let those things determine what I think I can believe I can receive? And I'm challenged again and saying, where's my faith? Where's my faith? And if you're like me, you're not alone. Because even Jesus' disciples are wrestling with the same thing. Look at this passage in Luke 17. Luke 17, Jesus is with his disciples and they're having some time alone. And the disciples are coming to him and asking him this question. Apostles said to Jesus saying, increase our faith. Increase our faith. How many have ask God to do that. I've asked God to do that many times. Increase my faith. Increase my faith. Now, it's very interesting what Jesus replies to them in Luke 17. Right after verse 5, we see in verse 6, he says to them, and the Lord said, if you have faith like the grain of a mustard seed, you could say to this mulberry tree, be uprooted and planted in the sea, and it would obey you. They're asking him to increase their faith, which I feel like that's a good ask, right? That's asking something really good. But instead of giving them the five steps about how to increase your faith, like you just need to do 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, and then you'll have more faith. He doesn't give them these instructions about how to increase their faith. Instead of telling them how to increase their faith, he turns around and says, if you have the smallest amount of faith, which in this agricultural society, the smallest seed in this region is the mustard seed. If you have the smallest amount of faith, you can experience a supernatural thing like this tree being uprooted and thrown into the sea. Instead of answering their request for more faith, he's telling them, if you have the smallest amount of faith, you can experience the supernatural. I think Jesus is trying to share something about faith. I think he's trying to share something about their request, because I think their request is really good. But he's saying, you're asking the wrong thing. You think you need to have more faith, but what I want to tell you is, even if you have the smallest amount of faith, it's enough. They think the amount of faith that they have is the problem. And he's saying that's not the problem. Look at this next passage in Matthew 14. We see an example of this. Matthew 14, okay, so Jesus is here. He sends up his disciples to go ahead of them, and then they're going up across the Sea of Galilee. They're in the boat, and they've been rowing and rowing and rowing and rowing, and then Jesus comes and decides to join them. Okay, so how does he join them? He's walking on water, right? And they've been going all night. So I'm wondering, like, how fast is he walking? Because he catches up to them. Okay, so he catches up to them while they're in the boat. Okay, and then when they see them, they start freaking out. That's what we see in verse 26. But when the disciples saw Jesus walking on the sea, they were terrified and said, "It's a ghost." And they cried out in fear. But immediately Jesus spoke to them, saying, "Take heart, it is I. Do not be afraid." And then Peter answered him and said, "Lord, if it's you, command me to come to you on the water." And he said, "Come." And so Peter got out of the boat and walked on the water. But when he saw the wind and he was afraid and beginning to sink, he cried out, "Lord, save me." Immediately Jesus reached out his hand and took a hold of him, saying to him, "You of little faith, why did you doubt?" Okay? So we look at this. We look at verse 31. Okay, so Peter, and I love Peter. Okay, so Peter, he just sees this. And when he recognizes Jesus, he says, "Jesus, just tell me to come." And he says, "Come." And he gets out of the boat. Okay? He gets out. All the rest of the 11 are not coming out. Only him. Okay? He's the one getting out of the boat. And he experienced a supernatural thing. He got to experience, like, actually walking on water, something that's actually not possible for us to experience. He got to experience it, okay? Then in verse 31, but Jesus says, once he started getting afraid and he started sinking, Jesus immediately reaches out and saves him and says, "You of little faith, why did you doubt?" And I always looked at this in verse 31 and thought, what is Jesus saying? Because Peter is the one that actually got out of the boat. And I thought, why is he, like, so hard on Peter? And then I realized, when I looked at his statement, "You of little faith," I didn't make the connection to the passage that we just read. I didn't make that connection to Luke 17 when Jesus said, if you only have the smallest amount of faith, you can experience the miraculous, the supernatural in your life. What is he saying about little faith? He's saying, this is really good. In our eyes, we think little faith is very bad. He is saying, you of little faith, this is not a condemnation. This is an affirmation. You demonstrated and you did something with the little faith that you had, and you got to experience something supernatural. The second part is an admonition where he says, but why did you doubt? You had faith. You had faith enough to step out of the boat. You responded. You experienced the supernatural. But then you doubted. You let the winds and the waves steal away that faith. And I want to tell you, it's not the littleness of our faith that's the problem. It's the doubt. And I feel like the enemy wants to speak this message about, you don't have enough faith. And I want to tell you, the same message that Jesus is speaking to disciples, that he's speaking to us, that's not your problem. We all have faith. We all have faith. And I want to say, even if you feel like you have zero faith, you're not far away. Because it only requires a little bit of faith to experience God in a supernatural way. Even if you have zero faith, if you feel like you have zero, you're not far away. We have to change our mindset. The reason he's not answering their question when they say increase our faith, because they're thinking it's going to come from them and what they can bring and what they can generate. That's not where faith comes from. Look at this passage in Romans 10:17. Romans 10:17 says faith comes from what? It comes from hearing, and hearing from the word of God. Faith doesn't even come from you. Why do you think that you need to generate more faith and have more faith? I remember there's one time when my wife was like having some work done on her car, and her car was in the shop, and I don't know how long it was in the shop, but she wanted to run an errand. Okay, so she asked my son if she could borrow his car. Okay, so she took my son's car, and she thought, okay, I'm kind of using his car, so let me fill up his car with gas. Okay, so that was the kind of thought that she had. So she's driving to this shopping plaza, and in the shopping plaza, she's going to go to like Target and some other shopping things here. And on the opposite end of the shopping plaza is a gas station. Okay, so she's going up and getting ready to go to Target, and the Lord speaks to her and says, go fill up the car with gas. And I was like, and she was like, no, I want to go to Target first, and da-da-da. But she's like, okay, I'll go fill up the, I'm going to fill it up anyway, so I'm going to go on the other side and fill up the car with gas. So she goes up to the gas station, and there's three pumps, okay? And then the Lord told her, go to the pump in the middle. There's nobody in any of the pumps, right? Go to the pump in the middle. Okay, she's like, okay, I'm going to go to the pump in the middle. So she goes to the pump in the middle. She takes out her credit card, and she's going to put it in the slot, but there's a card inside already. So she takes the card out, and then she looks at the card, and on the card said, Stephen Chong. Now, that name means nothing to you, but Stephen Chong is the name of my son's best friend. And she's like, there's no way this could be the same Stephen Chong. So she calls up my son Isaac and say, hey, Isaac, this is what happened. I'm pumping gas and da-da-da, and I saw this credit card. It says Stephen Chong. Like, hey, can you call Stephen to see if this is a credit card? So I was at home. I was listening to my son calling on speakerphone, calling up Stephen saying, hey, Steve, what's up? He's like, dude, I'm freaking out right now. I lost my credit card. My mom is going to kill me. I'm like so frantic right now. I'm so anxious. Like, I've done it. And then my son said, bro, I think my mom has your credit card. He's like, what are you talking about? What do you mean that your mom has my credit card? And so, like, he explained all the things that my wife just told him. And I look at that situation. It's so funny. But I just think, how did that happen? How did my wife end up getting the credit card of my son's best friend when he was like frantically looking for it and he was in a panic? Did she have a lot of faith? A little bit. A little bit. Did she hear something from the Lord? She did. The Lord said, I want you to go fill up your son's car with gas. If she didn't listen and go there first, that credit card might not be there. If she didn't listen and say, go to the pump in the middle, she wouldn't have found that card. Faith comes from hearing from the Word of God. That when God speaks to you, this is what generates faith. That's what happened with my wife. That's what happened with Peter. He heard the Lord say, come to me. And what did he do? He came to him. When we look at faith, we have a wrong idea of where it's coming from. Faith, when we think about trying to increase our faith, we think that faith is about us and not about God. That's why we look at passages like Romans 10:17 and realize faith doesn't come from us and trying to generate more faith. I am shared that I have a ministry to pastors, and there's one pastor that I had been meeting with for a while, and he was from China. And so he was a pastor in China, and he was a part of the underground church. And so his role in the church in China was to minister and to outreach to college students. So he had a college ministry in China. So the universities there were nearby in that city. He would go and visit them and then do ministry there and develop a relationship with the college students, and that was his ministry. And when he was sharing that to me, he was sharing about how he was in that ministry, but then things turned south, right? Because the pastor of that church started really saying all these negative things about him and giving all these false accusations against him. And not just only against him, but also against his wife. And then he started sharing with me, saying, like, I'm here in the United States to go to seminary because, you know, I want to continue being a pastor, but actually, I'm not sure why I'm actually here, because I don't trust the church. I don't trust other pastors. I don't even know why I'm here in seminary, because I don't know what I'm going to do with this degree when I graduate. So he's sharing all this with me, and so I'm just walking with him and giving him some safe space to kind of process his pain and encouraging him, and as we're walking along. And, you know, we've been doing this over months, and slowly his heart started recovering a little bit, right? During this time, I got an email from AACF, which is Asian American Christian Fellowship, at UC Irvine, okay? And I came to faith through a campus ministry, InterVarsity. Actually, that's where I know Sil, from InterVarsity. So I came to faith through InterVarsity, so I have a special place in my heart for campus ministry. So whenever they reach out to me, I try to always say yes. Okay, so I'm about to reply back to this email that, you know, I'm going to come, I'm willing to come and come to speak. And then while I'm writing the email, the Lord tells me, bring someone with you. Bring someone with you. I'm like, okay. So then I type out and I ask them, is it okay if I bring someone with me? Okay, and then they reply back and say, sure. I'm like, who am I going to bring? Like, I don't know who to bring. And so I asked the Lord, who do you want me to bring with me to UCI to go to AACF? And he said, bring that Chinese pastor. Ask the Chinese pastor to come with you to AACF. And I was like, okay, I'll reach out to him. I don't know if he's going to say yes, because that's where he got hurt and that's where he got all of his trauma from, is doing college ministry. So I don't know if he's going to say yes. But one of the things that I did, which is one of the things I always want to encourage you, is don't say no for people. I've done that so many times, thinking about asking them this or sharing about your faith or doing these things. Don't say no for people, because I've talked myself out of so many of those things. But even though in my mind I thought he's not going to say yes, I asked him anyway. And when I asked him, he said yes. Okay, so he said yes. So I'm like, okay, cool. So then we go, I pick him up, drive down to UCI, and then we're having dinner. And then we go to the fellowship hall. And while we're waiting in the fellowship hall, like, different people are talking to us or whatever, greeting us. And then I go up and the service starts, and then I go up and give my message. And while I give my message, out of the corner of my eye, I see my friend, this Chinese pastor, he's like talking to this other guy, right? And they're like animated. I'm like, you're not listening to my message. No, I was thinking, oh, what's going on over here? What's going on, you know? So I'm like listening to him. And then after the message, I go up and talk to him. I say, who is that guy? He's like, oh, he's the staff person here at AACF. He goes to my church. He's like, I didn't know that. And I was like, well, that's kind of cool. It's kind of cool. Like, we brought him here, and then he connected with this person, and then actually a person that actually goes to his church and someone that he actually gets along with and that he trusts. And I'm like, okay, that was pretty good, Lord. So then I'm going, and I'm talking to other students, and da-da-da-da. And then I come back to my friend, and then he's talking to someone else, okay? And then he's talking to this other gal, and they're talking in Chinese. And they're talking in Mandarin, so I'm trying to listen in, but I don't speak Mandarin, so I have no idea what they're talking about. But they're starting talking, and then they're getting more and more animated, right? They're going, and they're talking louder and louder and louder. I'm like, what's going on? Right? There's something happening right here, right? Okay, so after they're finished with their conversation, I give my friend, and then we're walking back to the car. I'm like, who is that person that you were talking to? And then he said, oh, when we first came, and you introduced me, and you said that, you know, this person was part of a church in China, da-da. And one of the leaders there, he said, oh, we have someone in our fellowship who's from China, you know? And so he brought that person, that student, and came and talked to my friend. And I thought, okay, that's kind of cool, but China has 1.4 billion people, you know? It's like, what's the chance of someone else from China? Sure, you know, da-da-da. But as they're talking about their background and talking about being from China and realize that they're from the same province. And they're like, but, you know, their provinces are really big. Some provinces have more people than the United States, right? So I'm like, okay, that's no big deal. But then they keep talking and they realize they're not only from the same province, they're from the same village in the province, and this village is very small, and that their parents know each other. And then I was thinking, oh my gosh, 1.4 billion people, and God is connecting this pastor with this person from the same village where their parents know each other. And so as he was sharing this with me, he was thanking me for inviting him to come. And then he said, I wanted to be honest with you. He said, I wasn't going to come. The only reason I came is because I felt obligation to you because you've been meeting with me for all this time. Honestly, that was the only reason I was going to come, because I didn't want to be here at campus ministry, because that's where all my hurt came from. And he said, but because of what happened today, I feel like God is still with me. He's still believing in me. He still wants me to be a part of ministry, and he still wants me to pursue this. And I was looking at that, and I was thinking, this is so amazing. This is so incredible what God does. Now, did I have a lot of faith? A little. A little. Did I hear from God? I did. He told me to invite somebody, and I invited somebody. He did the rest. I didn't do any of that. I couldn't have done any of that. There's no way that I could have orchestrated any of the things that unfolded on that day that brought this encouragement to this person who's now pastoring in a church right now. There's no way. I can't do that. You can't do that. But God can. Faith comes from hearing. And hearing from the Word of God. Faith comes from intimacy with God. We need to be intimate with God. We need to be with him. We need to be spending time with him. We need to be close to him so that when he speaks to us, all we need to do is respond. Our part is responding. That's the faith part. I can hear, but if I don't respond, then I'm not actually acting in faith. God brings all of the elements. He brings all the faith. We have to bring our yes. We have to say yes. Even when it doesn't make sense, even when you're going to think it's going to turn out the opposite, that's the way that I thought. I thought he's not going to say yes to this, but I did it anyway. That's faith. That's what he wants from us. That's what he's desiring for us. That's what he wants us, so we can experience more of this, more of what only he can do. More supernatural things in your life that you can't do, you can't know, you can't understand, you can't orchestrate, you can't make happen, but God can. All that's required from us is that we would hear. We'd spend time in his word, and when you spend time in his word, he's going to speak to you. We spend time in prayer, he's going to speak to you. And when I say speak to you, I know people kind of get freaked out. It's like, oh, I can't hear from God. When I say speak to you, it just means it's in your thinking. He guides your thinking. That's what happens when you read the Bible. When you read the Bible, you start thinking. That's God speaking to you. God is the one who directs your thoughts when you're engaging with him. Pay attention to how he's directing your thoughts. And when I say, sorry, I'm going to look over here, but be patient. So when I want, this is kind of extra. But when you're hearing from God, you want to say, like, not all of my thoughts are God's thoughts. And not all of his thoughts are my thoughts, but what I want to tell you, there's much more overlap than we give ourselves credit for. There's a lot of the things that you thought, but that's not coming from you. We look in Matthew when Jesus is asking disciples, you know, who do you say that I am? And Peter responds, you are the Christ. What does Jesus reply to him? Flesh and blood did not reveal that to you, but my Father in heaven. And I'm like, wait a minute. If you're Peter, Jesus just asked you a question, you thought about it, and you gave an answer, and what does Jesus say? That was not from you. That was from God. What did Peter do? He heard the question, he thought about it, and he answered. And what does Jesus say? God was speaking to you. Don't make it something mysterious. I'm not hearing like an audible voice, like telling me to do these things or do... I am just going about my day paying attention to how the Lord is leading and guiding me in my thinking, in my thoughts, especially when you're asking him. I would say, especially when you're asking God, pay attention to what you're thinking. If it's not, it could be an audible voice. How is he going to speak to you? Think about it. Think about it. Think about it. So as we close, I want us to just really just engage the Lord right now. And just want to invite the worship team to come up. And as we close our time, I want to go back to the Canaanite woman. And when we think about the Canaanite woman and Jesus' assessment of her, and then him saying that she had great faith, her great faith was born from her great desire and her great need. She said, I know these bad things are happening, and I know these things are not what I want, but it's not going to stop me from receiving from you. And I pray as we close that you can share your heart with the Lord and ask him to come and to speak to you and to speak to your heart and speak to your situation and to things that are important to you, the things that you're caring about, the things that you're needing and desperate for. Give God some space to come and to meet you and speak to you and speak to your situation. Because you have faith. We just need it to be active, to demonstrate it, and to respond to it. So just pray right now that you'd come and to encounter the Lord. He would come and to meet you where your heart is at, where your need is at. It may be for you. It might be like the woman who's desperate for her family member, for her daughter. Have this be a time where you can come and have the Lord minister to you, to minister to your need, in faith, to hear from the Lord.